The Monk of Wittenberg, the story of Martin Luther. This is another in the series, Stories of Great Christians, and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.
This man calls Karlstadt his antagonist, and yet at the same time attacks me. But God reigns. He knows what he will bring out of this dispute. It is not Dr. X's reputation or my reputation that is at stake. In this dissertation of X, the chief doctrines that I, for that matter, the whole university have set forth are condemned. But the word of God, you see, does attack my X. He must be answered. I must get permission to go to Leipzig now. Thanks to Eck, this affair, which has been more or less play between him and Karlstadt, will become serious. It was no easy task to get permission from Duke Forge for Eck and I to debate. The subject of the debate, chosen by Eck, was the authority of the Pope. Duke George, alarmed by so dangerous a topic, and fearing a recurrence of war between his electorate of Bohemia and my Saxony, refused permission. Well, it was agreed that I might go to Leipzig, only as a spectator. But when I arrived there...
Well, Schorne, I know why you're here.
Elector, I am certain of victory over Luther. The authority of the Pope will not suffer from our encounter. It will come forth covered in glory, rather. Luther is the ringleader of all the attacks on the church. If he is felled, all will fail with him.
If you are sure you will win the dispute...
Your Grace, I am confident.
Very well. Come to me immediately at its conclusion.
Thank you, Elector. You will never regret your decision.
Brother Joel, we have assembled here to witness the dispute between Drs. Luther and Eck on the subject of the supremacy of the Pope. The object of this discussion is not for one to win victory over the other, but for one brother to recover another from the error of his ways. Let us begin by all the assembly kneeling for the hymn of invocation.
Come, holy Ghost, God of inspire, and lighten within us all. Come, Jesus, our
gentle Jesus, amen.
The worthy doctor calls upon me to prove that the primacy of the Church of Rome is of divine right. I will prove it by the fact that Christ stated, "Thou art Peter, and on this rock will I build my church."
In the name of the Lord, amen. If the revered doctor desires to attack me, let him first reconcile this. He has said that Augustine wrote that the rock of which Christ spoke was Peter. But Augustine has said many more times that the rock was Christ. Perhaps only once said it was Peter. The people should think Augustine and all the fathers say that the apostle is the rock of which Christ speaks. I would resist them single-handed in reliance upon the Holy Scriptures, for it is written, "Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ."
Then your conclusions are in every way favorable to the error that the heretic Hudson and his followers propagated.
They have broken away from the church. I do not like, and never shall like, a schism. But among the articles of faith held by John Huss, there are some that are more Christian. For instance, it is not necessary for salvation to believe the Roman Church superior to all others. It is of little consequence to me whether these things be said by Wycliffe or by Huss. They are the truth.
I am so glad you thought of us taking a walk this evening, Sean. It is getting much warmer. Look, Sean Bart has painted his shop.
Yeah, I saw him at it last week. Ah, Hilda, you do not get out enough.
What nonsense to think the only pleasure I have is taking a walk in the evening. Don't you think I am happy that you are so busy preaching the gospel?
Well, if an old teacher talking to his friends is preaching, I guess you could call it that. But don't let the priest hear you styling me a preacher.
Hello, Hilda and Sean. How nice to see you both.
Greta, how are you, dear?
I'm never better.
And the children and Hans?
Oh, all well. I'm just on my way home from taking some baking to Frau Hoffmann. She's all right now, but she has been a sick woman.
Why don't you walk along with us? We are going to the park.
I will. Herr Hans, you used to be Philip Melanchthon's teacher, did you not?
I was. Why do you ask, Greta?
Oh, so much is happening these days in Wittenberg. The other day, my husband and I were wondering how he is doing in such a controversial university.
Oh, all the controversy with Philip is over. He's always been a friend and supporter of Luther's. Now he's a co-worker.
Ah, how good. But it seems odd to think of Philip taking a radical side in anything.
John had a letter from Philip last Tuesday. He told him that it was at Leipzig, listening to Luther debate with Dr. F, that he felt called to put aside his literature for theology. He would be a great help to Martin Luther.
Luther is the hardy woodsman, hacking away at the briars and the underbrush. And Philip is the sower, quietly tilling and planting the ground.
Then he will have a lot of ground to plant. We have heard that all Europe watches Martin Luther and the Pope.
And reads what Luther writes. Pamphlets, commentaries, doctrinal theses. His literature is all over Europe. It has even been carried into Italy by a bookseller.
Couldn't you think, brother, that the church would have stopped him long ago?
Yes.
He is becoming more and more outspoken with every word he writes.
I know. And still, he is not yet excommunicated.
Except by himself. He has separated himself from the church already.
Yes. Something is going to happen soon. I can just feel it.
But Martin, that is not all.
What more?
They are burning your books in Mainz.
Oh, to burn books is so easy, Master Philip, that even children can do it. Much more than the Holy Father and his doctors. Well, let them destroy my books. I desire nothing better. All my wish has been to lead souls to the Bible, so that afterward they might neglect my writings. If we have a knowledge of the Scripture, what need would there be of any books of mine?
I must sit down. You know you are ordered to Rome? They will imprison you.
Oh, no, my brother. No. Listen, I am free by the grace of God. Excommunication neither consoles nor alarms me. My strength and my consolation are in a place where neither men nor devils can reach them.
What are you going to do?
We shall call a public meeting, Philip, to show the people where we stand.
We could try again to appeal to a general council.
Since the Pope has put me under the ban of the church, I will put the Pope under the ban of Christendom.
Frederick, then you gave me permission to accompany you to Worms. I thought seeing the deity in station would be wonderful. to be present at the first council that our new emperor has called, to see the state business of Germany conducted, to see the splendor of the royal court.
It's ready to tell you the assembly would be in an uproar. You should have stayed at home.
How could I have known that the powers of Rome and Germany were converging to bid for the blood of Martin Luther?
Ursula, you are undisciplined. Eat your food.
I cannot understand you. You don't seem concerned that Alejandro stirred up so much fierce hatred for Martin in the assembly this morning that every man there, including the emperor, is determined to erase the very memory of Martin Luther from German history. If Martin had been here, he could have defended himself, but you kept him from coming. And you eat your dinner.
I am not going to argue with you. You are a woman, and my sister. But do not forget, ignorance breeds anger.
Then help my ignorance.
Listen, Ursula. I did not want Martin to come to the diet because I feared that he would be seized and taken to Rome. The emperor has not yet taken a definite position in relation to Rome, and there was the possibility that Rome would dazzle him into giving up Martin.
But Emperor Charles is greatly influenced by you. He knows that you favor Martin, and that you would be angry if he sided with the Pope about Luther.
Oh, that is true. But my power has only been able to checkmate this king.
But you will not win the game.
It is not really my game, you know. The chief pawn must speak for himself.
Justice, wake up.
Justice.
Justice.
Thank you. Peter, what is it?
Shh. Dr. Luther is still sleeping.
What is the matter?
Nothing. You told me to wake you up at dawn if I woke up.
Is it light already?
All right, little mother. I won't wake up your beloved teacher. He has been ill all the way from Wittenberg. I thought we would never get to Worms.
It is a good thing I came on ahead to get this room. The city is so crowded.
Yeah. Justice, a strange thing happened as Dr. Luther and I entered Worms.
Huh? What was it?
As we passed to the gates of Worms, a very great crowd thronged around us. And all of a sudden, a man dressed like a mourner in a funeral procession and carrying the traditional mourner's cross made his way through the crowd straight to Dr. Luther. And then, with a loud voice and in that terrible chant in which Mass is said for the dead, he sang, "At last thou art come to us, long looked for one, whom we have waited for in the darkness of the grave." It made me shudder.
Ah, that is awful. Then what happened?
Well, the people close up were stunned for a minute, and then they began to push him around, cheer at him, and soon he just melted into the crowd.
How weird. I suppose it was planned to be a scare. Hey, what did Dr. Luther do?
Nothing. Stared back at him. I think he was quite nervous about appearing before the diet. He was so preoccupied, he thinks about it a great deal.
I hope the crowds are small this morning. He has been to enough strain already.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
Dr. Luther?
Yeah?
I am to escort you to the diet. We are going to have a fight to get to the palace.
I am used to fights.
Make way!
Devil!
God bless you, Dr. Luther.
Magistrate, let us go into a house. I cannot move. Crowd is so...
Yeah. We could try going through the house and courtyard.
Yeah.
Martin Luther,
His sacred and invincible Imperial Majesty has cited you before his throne in accordance with the advice and counsel of the States of the Holy Roman Empire to require you to answer two questions. First, do you acknowledge these books to have been written by you? Second, are you prepared to retract these books and their contents, or do you persist in the opinions you have advanced in them? Let the titles of the books be read.
The Freedom of a Christian Man, addresses to the nobility of the German nation. And finally, the Babylonian captivity of the church.
Most gracious emperor, gracious princes and lords, His Imperial Majesty has asked me two questions. As to the first, I acknowledge as mine the books that have just been named. I cannot deny them. As to the second, better or no, I will retract, seeing that it is a question of which concerns faith and salvation and the word of God. I should act imprudently if I were to act without reflection. I might affirm less than the circumstance demands, or more than the truth requires, and so sin against this saying of Christ. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. For this reason, I entreat your Imperial Majesty, with all humility, to allow me time, that I may answer without offending the word of God.
Your Majesty, what think you of the monk?
Certainly this man will never make a heretic of me. Give him permission.
Martin Luther, His Imperial Majesty of his natural goodness, is very willing to grant you another day, but on the condition that you make your reply in person and not in writing. You may go.
Oh, almighty and everlasting God, how terrible is this world. Behold, it openeth its mouth to swallow me up, and I have so little trust in thee. How weak is the flesh. How powerful Satan. My last hour has come. My condemnation has been pronounced. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, help me against all the wisdom of this world. I have nothing to do here. Nothing to contend for with these great ones of the world. I should desire to see my days flow on peaceful and happy, but the cause is thine. God, my God, hearest thou me not? God, art thou dead? No, no, thou hidest thyself only. Thou hast chosen me for this. Act then, O God. I'm ready to lie down my life. My soul belongs to thee. O God, help me. Amen.
Martin Luther, your delay has expired. Now, therefore, reply to the question, are you willing to retract what you have written?
Most serene emperor, illustrious princes, gracious lords, I have written books against the papacy in which I have attacked those who, by their false doctrine, their evil lives, or their scandalous example, afflict the Christian world with tyranny. I cannot disavow these writings, for by so doing, I should sanction the godlessness of my adversaries. Yet I am a man and not God. I shall therefore defend myself as Christ did. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. I beg you, by the mercies of God,
to prove from the writings of the prophets and apostles that I have erred. As soon as I am convinced of this, I will retract. Otherwise, I cannot, I will not retract. Here I stand. I can do no other. May God help me. Amen.
Dr. Luther, I don't understand. All of the meetings you went to in Rome, all of the controversy and waiting for the emperor to reach a decision. You didn't retract, and here you are safely on the way to Wittenberg.
Now, here is the whole history of the day, Peter.
Are these your books?
Yeah.
Will you retract them?
No. Well, then be gone. Blind Germans, how childish they react to allow us to be the dupes and sports of Rome.
But the emperor condemned you, even though he let you go.
Yeah. No man must give me a crust of bread or a cup of butter or a night's lodging. All men are to burn my books. Anyone who seizes me and brings me before the emperor will be rewarded.
What will you do? Where will you go?
God knows.
I'll be glad when we get out of this forest. It's so dark, it being only noon. The others have fallen behind us.
You are not afraid of shadows, Peter.
No.
Peter.
Yeah?
I think I hear some horsemen.
What?
I am only jesting.
Peter, you must be brave.
Oh, you scared me, sir. Dr. Luther, I think I hear some horsemen.
You don't think to catch me in my own trap, eh?
Peter, I must teach you trap sharper this.
No, I hear them. I do hear them, Dr. Luther. Look, there they are.
Stop! Stop the carriage!
Help! Help!
Halt! Halt, we will not hurt you!
Dr. Luther, take me.
Determined to protect me by burying me alive in this Swordberg castle.
8 days are gone already,
and I have not written, not prayed, not read. I am tortured in part by trials of the flesh, in part by other complaints. I burn in the fire of my unconquered flesh, in sloth and drowsiness, in idleness and wine. And I know not whether God has turned away from me. The devil has bid me night and day. Sometimes I think it is he who has used me and not God. Perhaps this will be the end of it all. Pray for me.
Still writing?
Yeah.
Where will I leave your tray?
On the chair.
There's no room on that chair.
Then put it on the floor, Gustav. I do not mind.
You do not eat it anyway.
Thank you, Gustav.
Why do you not quit writing?
Huh? Gustav, you do not like me burning so many candles?
The candles do not matter. You're working too hard. I'm drinking too much.
Oh, if it were not for the writing to keep my mind off the sickness, the loneliness, the doubts, I would die in this castle.
Well, you act like you're getting ready to.
Oh, no, I am not. Just this. Clear the papers off the chair and sit down.
All right, I will.
My foot has been bothering me again.
Gustav, last week I could stand it no longer. I went to Wittenberg.
I know you were not hunting.
A letter came to me that Wittenberg was in an uproar. One of the pamphlets wrote here dealt with the misuse of the mass. Well, Karlstadt used it in preaching that mass ought to be discontinued and that the communion cup should be given to the masses. As a result, some monks at Wittenberg had a Christian communion service for the students at the university, cup and all. That's a scandal it made. Besides this, some of the priests that have openly married are being imprisoned until they agree to renounce their marriage bonds. And only a few days before I arrived, students pushed into a church and took the books away from the priests who were saying mass. How could I stay walled up in my Patmos when such things were going on?
Were you recognized?
No, not even some of my friends recognized me in this beard and soldier's costume.
I am surprised you came back.
I had to. It would have been death to stay. The rumor started that I was in Wittenberg.
And what was the good of going at all?
Oh, God, to see my friends again, to encourage them, to stop the devilish rioting and rebellion. I am not for violence. I'm just now writing to the students who have caused such turmoil. They're calling themselves Lutheran.
What is in the letter?
Listen to it. I beg you, do not use my name. What is Luther? The doctrine is not mine, nor am I crucified for anyone. How has it come, Gustav, that a poor stinking bag of maggots should give my name to the children of Christ?
You have many followers, have you not?
No, no, they are followers of Christ as I am. Well, when this letter is finished, I shall be done with a lot of them.
It will be good for you to put down the pen. But now you will rest and get strong.
I'm tired of writing so many books.
I am tired of smuggling them to the publisher.
Tonight, I start a work. I'm going to begin to translate the New Testament into German.
What? You mean you are going to write out the Bible in German?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night, Herr Luther.
Good night, Doctor.
I do not suppose you will be stopping for meals, huh?
Only a little wine at Christmas time, old friend. Oh, and a few more candles every once in a while.
We are almost out of candles.
Of candles, Herr Hunger.
Oh, dear, no. How is this?
She is right, John. You have been up reading on the bus too every night this week.
Believe me, Hilda. Even then, it is a hard job to put Luther's translation down. I hope I see him next month when I go to Wittenberg. It's good that he has left the Wartburg.
With so much warring among the peasants and such an uproar within the church, I cannot believe he would dare to show himself.
He is a leader. With confusion abounding, he had to come back and restore order.
Well, I hope he can do it. If he cannot, he will have a lot to answer for.
Hilda, Luther has done a magnificent job on this translation. I never would have dreamed the scriptures could be so vivid. How could he have done it in less than 3 months? It is incredible.
John, I don't mind telling you. I cannot understand what all the fuss is about. It is not the first translation we have had in German, and it is not likely to be the last. I am going to bed, dear. If you want to ruin your health, I cannot stop.
No, wait, Hilda, wait. I'll prove to you it is a masterpiece. Anna.
Yes, sir.
Anna, you read of this Bible this afternoon, did you not?
You told me to, sir.
And did you read it?
Yes, sir.
Well, what did you think of it? Did you understand it? Did you like it? Go ahead, Anna. Say what you think.
John, just tell him what you told me.
Yes, sir. To tell you truthfully, I was a bit disappointed in it. All respect to Dr. Luther.
Disappointed in it? What do you mean?
Yes, sir. I thought it would be something great and sort of complicated. And instead, it is just the way we talk at home.
Hilda! That is even better than I had hoped she would say. That is it, that is it. To have the New Testament in German, not of the court, but of the butcher shop. Don't you see what it will mean to the common people to be able to read this translation? Instead of producing a book of riddles, Luther has proclaimed the revelation of God. This German translation we have never had.
Needles, the time has come. There's the bell for vestments. Mr. Kopp and Mr. Thomas will have their carriage at the gate in 5 minutes. Let those of us who will renounce this false life come and quickly.
You are wrong. Wrong.
Come, Sister Lametta. We must not delay.
Oh, my heart is pounding so. Wait, I must close the shutter.
Never mind about them. We have not time.
Sister Agnes, will you do them? It is vestments.
Come!